we know every period in the calendar has its... Every period in our calendar has lessons that we have to learn from. Each Yom Tov and each Seneko. So what should I do without it? No? Okay. That we have to learn from. And the 3 weeks, the 9 days, we know as well, it's a sad time for Klal Yisrael. But at the same time, it's a zman which we're supposed to be taking a lesson, something which we're supposed to be learning from, taking out of the days. So we'll try together a little bit to learn a few in Yonim from the Kinnas, from Tisha B'Av. What should we be misboining on? What should we be thinking about? That's just, this thing over here is making a... Is it making a noise? I don't know. No. So I'm just hearing an echo. It's a bit...
It's not there.
Maybe you can make it quiet, sir.
Okay. We'll see what happens. Okay. One of the kinnas which we are all... No good?
No.
Okay. One of the kinnas which we are all aware, and one of the most sad things which we mention on Tisha B'Av, is in Kina Yud Zayin, Im Toichalna Noshim Piriyam Oilelai Tefichim Alalaili. If women could come along and eat their children, their offspring, Alalaili, woe is to me. And this is something which we cannot even fathom, we cannot even understand. How could this be? How is this possible? But I want to focus on what the Kinnah says, that if such an event could happen, Alalaili, woe is to me. The question is, what's it got to do with me? This is an event which happened, a very sad, a very tragic event. But why is the finger of blame pointed to every individual in Klal Yisrael? The fact that this took place, Alalai Li, woe is to me, as if somehow I am also to blame for this. What's it got to do with me? I wasn't involved. Why are we all being somehow held to blame? So it's written in Parsha Shoftim, we all know, the Parsha of Egla Arifa. The Torah tells us, Ki emotze chulal ba'adoma. One finds a dead person, somebody has been killed. We don't know who killed him. Tells us the Torah that the Bezdin from the nearest city has to go out and they have to say a vidui. And the vidui they say is, Yodeini lo shofchi es hadom hazeh. We did not kill this person. Asks the Gemara, Kasha, Bezdin have to say a vidui and say, we were not to blame, we didn't kill him? Freit the Gemara, V'chi olsa libeini shebezdin shoifchei domim heim? Did we for a second entertain a thought that Bezdin did murder him? That they have to come along and excuse themselves and say, we did not murder him? Says the Gemara, what Bezdin mean to say is, of course we understand Bezdin didn't murder him. But what Bezdin are saying is that we didn't have any hand in his death. That when he left town and perhaps nobody accompanied him and nobody gave him to eat or to drink or tzeidah l'derech is because we didn't know about him. Because if we would have known about him, we would have given him something. So the fact that he left town by himself and therefore the murderer was able to come along and assassinate him isn't because we were negligent and we just weren't interested in him and we let him leave town by himself. We didn't know about him. Asks the Alter of Keln, Reb Simcha Zissel, a gewaltige Kasha. Bezen say avidu, we didn't murder him. And the Gemara explains this to me, like we just said, of course they didn't murder him. But what they're saying is that the fact that we didn't give him to eat and to drink is because we weren't aware of him. It wasn't that we purposely disregarded him, we let him go. So ask the Alt of Kelm, so how does this somehow translate the fact that they didn't give him food and drink, that we are holding them liable in his death, that they have to say a vidui that we didn't kill him? Yodaini lo shofchies hadom azeh. Zuk the Alt of Kelm, a moedik yisod. I'm sure you're all aware that Rabbi Sul Salanter used to say, if a yid in Paris is Mechalel Shabbos, that's because the Yid in Vilna closed his Gemara. When a Yid in Vilna closed his Gemara, so the Yid in Paris was Mechalel Shabbos. What's the meaning of this saying of Rabbi Sul Salanter? The Pshat is as follows. We have Klal Yisrael is compared to a long rope. The Pusik says in Hazini, Yaakov Chevel Nachalusoi. Klal Yisrael is like a long rope. The Tzadikim on the top of the rope. The Beinonim, the people in the middle of the rope. The Rishoim, they on the bottom of the rope. When the Tzadikim let down their guard and they slip up in the smallest little thing, Beinodim Lechaveiroi, somebody was in town, one ignored him. One didn't accompany him, one didn't give him Seder L'Derech. So the Tzadikim, the top of the rope, they let down their guard in a small way, Bein Odom L'Chaveroi. So the rope has become lowered. So the people in the middle, they go even lower. And the Rishoim, who they at the bottom of the rope, they sink even deeper. So when we find somebody has been murdered, ki yemotze cholol ba'adoma, when we find a murdered person, the bezin come along and they have to say a vidui that we did not murder this person. So ask the Gemara, of course they didn't. So what's the meaning of the vidui? They have to say a vidui, perhaps they have let their guard down somehow a little bit, which this has resulted in the whole of Klal Yisrael falling a little bit lower. So therefore the Rosha at the bottom of the rope, he's fallen even deep in the pit and he ends up murdering somebody. So who is to blame? The Tzadikim at the top, who they've lowered the rope. Therefore we say in this Kinna in Tisha B'Av, if Noshim Rachmonios could come along Nebuch and do such a terrible thing and end up killing their own children and eating them, Alalai li, woe is to me, to every individual. The fact that this took place points the finger of blame at everybody. It shows that the whole of Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, has gone down until such an episode could have happened. There's a story told over from Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zeichet Tzadik Levrucha. Once a young child, a young boy, was run over outside his house and killed. And people came into Rav Moshe and said, a terrible thing just happened. A Yiddish kind was just run over and killed. Said Rav Moshe, it wasn't a Yiddish kind, it was a Goyish child. So said, no, it was a Yiddish child. Said, it can't be. Said, it was. A few minutes later, other people came in and they said the same thing. And Rav Moshe said again, it was a Goyish child. So one of the people said, no, Rebbe, it was a Yiddish child. They found a couple on the floor right next to him. Rav Moshe, it wasn't a Yiddish child, it was a Goyish child. Went by a few more minutes and somebody else came in and they said it was a Goyish child. This Goyish child had snatched the couple off a Yiddish boy and he ran across the road running away with the couple and he was knocked over by the car and killed. It was a Goyish child. So they all asked Rav Moshe, how did you know that was a Goyish child? Was Riach HaKodesh? He said, no, Bechlal not Riach HaKodesh. He said, I don't hold myself so great that the koyach of my Torah should protect the entire world, should protect the entire city of New York, but that outside my own front door this should happen, I knew that was impossible. I knew it's impossible. I'm sitting here learning Torah all these years, years. It cannot happen outside my door. A Yid should be killed. I knew it must have been a Goisha child. So here we see from this story how that if something happens, a terrible thing happens, everybody is to blame. If it would have been a Yiddish kind, that would have shown that Reb Moshe's Torah wasn't able to protect anybody. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Makkos a similar story that Eliyahu Hanavi used to come every day to speak to Rabbi Yeshiah ben Levi. Tells us the Gemara that for 3 days, suddenly, Eliyahu Hanavi didn't turn up. After 3 days, Rabbi Yeshiah ben Levi asked him, "Where have you been? Why haven't you come?" So he said, "I couldn't come for the last 3 days because there was a tana on you in Shemayim. Because just a few miles away, three miles away, a lion had gone and killed a Yid. So if a Yid had been killed by a lion in your area where Rabbi Yeshiah ben Levi was living, so that was a tana on Rabbi Yeshiah ben Levi that obviously he was not able to protect and to safeguard all the Yidin living in his areas. So therefore, tells us the Gemara, Eliyahu Hanavi didn't come to visit him for 3 days. And this is be'emes what's written in Parshas Maaseh, that somebody who kills somebody else b'shoigeg runs to the Orim Miklot. And we know the Torah tells us he has to stay in the Orim Miklot ad mois ha-koyen ha-godol, until the Koyen Godol is nifta. And the Gemara asks, what's it got to do with the Koyen Godol? And the Gemara tells us, because the Koyen Godol should have davened that this should never have happened. So if another Yid could by mistake end up killing a fellow Jew, the Kohen Gadol is to blame. The finger of blame is pointed at the Kohen Gadol. So this is what we say in the Kinnos. If this terrible thing could have happened, Im Techalna Nushim Piriyom is Alalai Li, that shows that the finger of blame is to be pointed at each and every one of us. The Chazon Ish writes in a letter that the fact that such an incident could take place, he says, of course we understand, although we don't understand, we should never understand what it means that a person should be driven insane out of his mind from starvation. We cannot understand, and of course this is why such a thing happened. Oba writes the Chazon Ish that the gezeira, this gezeira of Nushim Rachmonios, was shows us that the Nebuch had lost all feelings, and we know such stories in the war, that people became Nebuch so desensitized that they were no longer able to understand in the same way things which we all take for granted. And this was the gezeira. The gezeira was that unfortunately things had deteriorated so terribly that things which we take for granted is impossible in a million years could never have happened. Suddenly these things were happening, and this is how it was. This was the true sadness of this gezeira. We know and we think that the translation of the word achzorius, a Yid is not allowed to be an achzori, the translation of the word achzorius is to be cruel. A Yid is not allowed to be cruel, one Yid to another Yid. But the Ponovitch and Mashkiach, Rabbi Chev Skol Evenstein, explains that that is not actually the root, the translation of the word achzorius. Rather, the translation of the word achzorius comes from the word ochzor. Sometimes people are indifferent. My own brother, I look to him, zor. I'm totally indifferent. Says Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, this is the translation and the root of the word achzorius, indifference. And we know in the Second World War, unfortunately, all the goyim in Europe, although perhaps they didn't, most of them didn't participate with what the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, were doing, but they were indifferent. And because they were indifferent, that's why the Nazis were able to do what they did. So it tells us Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein, achzorius doesn't just mean to be cruel. Achzorius means to be indifferent. Achzor. And this is something which in the 9 days, we know that avoided nowadays, And this is what the Gemara tells us we have to work on in Gulis, is the avoider of eradicating sinas chinam. Sinas chinam doesn't mean dafka when you go and you throw a stone at somebody, when you go and you belittle him, you do something nasty to them, poke fun at them. But sinas chinam can even be when a person remains quiet, when he hears somebody else poking fun, doing something, something is happening and you could stop it or you could make a difference and you don't. So that in itself is achzorius, and that is the avera of sinas chinam. The Gemara tells us this, in fact, the famous Gemara that we all know, when the Gemara asks, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? And the Gemara tells us, Akamtza ibakamtza churev Yerushalayim. That Yerushalayim was destroyed because of two people, because of Kamtza and Bakamtza. And the Mefarshim all ask the same question. Why does the Gemara point the finger of blame at Kamtza? The Gemara tells us the story was, we all know, there was a fellow who made a big posh banquet and he wanted to invite his good friend Kamtza, and by mistake the shliach who went to deliver the invitations, instead of delivering it to Kamtza, he gave it to Bar Kamtza, who was a sworn enemy of the fellow making this banquet. And Bar Kamtza turned up at the Seder, and when he was sitting there in the middle of the Seder, this fellow saw him and he flew into a rage and he told him, you just better get out of here, you're not sitting here for a second longer. And he begged him, please don't embarrass me in public, please don't for shame me. And he said, I'm not interested. And he said, I'll pay for the entire Seder. It was a big posh banquet, 3-course meal, whatever, Hilton Plaza, whatever. I'm not interested. And he threw him out. And this Bar Kamtza went, and he mustered, tells us the Gemara, he made a mim on a behemoth, and so on, and he mustered the Klal Yisrael to the Tzar, and came along and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So ask all the Mefarshim, why do Chazal say, because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Why is Kamtza somehow held to blame? He's put in it. He was a totally innocent individual. He wasn't involved, he wasn't there by the Seder, he didn't know what was going on. Why is he to blame? But as I said before, the aver of sinus chinam and achzorius isn't just merely when you do something, it's remaining indifferent. This fellow who threw out Bar Kamtza, because the shliach had mixed him up with his good friend Kamtza, say the Mefarshim, the only reason why he did it was because he knew that when tomorrow he's going to tell his good friend Kamtza, you know what happened? That good-for-nothing Bar Kamtza turned up because they confused him with you and I threw him out head first. His good friend Kamtza's going to cheer him on. He said, oh, Gewaldig, what you did was fantastic. Going to cheer him, give him a pat on the back. But he would have never done this if he would have had even the slightest havamina that his friend Kamtza said, you could do such a thing? That's the way you behave? You can't be my friend anymore. I'm not talking to you. So this fellow only did it because he knew that his good friend Kamtza is going to cheer him on, or at the worst thing, he's going to remain indifferent to him. But if he would have known that his friend Kamtza would have told him off for it, he would have never done it. So although Kamtza was not involved, but the fact that this fellow knew that Kamtza would be happy with him or indifferent to what he's done, so therefore, tell us Chazal, a Kamtza iba Kamtza churav Yerushalayim, that Kamtza is also to blame. So here we see, when we speak about sinus chinam, as I said, sinus chinam doesn't merely mean not inflicting pain and suffering on somebody else. It means remaining indifferent. And we see countless stories and things one can quote, how the Torah was careful and sensitive to another person's feelings, not to upset anybody in any way. We see in last week's Parsha and Parsha's Maaseh, The Rebbe Yishim told Moshe Rabbeinu to instruct Klal Yisrael to send out 12,000 soldiers, 1,000 from each Shevet, Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael from the Midyonim. And it's written in the Pusik, Vayishlach Oysa Moshe Elef Lamata Letzovav Es Pinchos. He sent out 1,000 from each Shevet, and Pinchos was sent along as well. As the Balatirim, one would have expected that the Nusi of each Shevet should also have been sent along. Why was the Nusi of the Shvutim not sent along? He sent along 1,000 from each Shevet, and who was in control of all 12,000? Just Pinchas. Why weren't the Nesiim sent from each and every Shevet? Says the Balatirim, the reason why the Nesiim were not sent, Shaloi Yizbayish Shevet Shimon, in order not to embarrass Shevet Shimon, because their Nosi was Zimri ben Suli, had just been killed with a story with Cosby. So if all the Nesiim would have gone, it would have been glaringly noticeable that is lacking, is missing, the Nosi from Shevet Shimon. So in order not to embarrass Shevet Shimon that they haven't got a Nosi, so the Rebbeinu Shlom said, we're sending along 12,000 soldiers, 1,000 from each Shevet, but no Nesiim. Pinchas will be in charge of everybody. So we see here how the Torah was sensitive, not in any way to embarrass Shevet Shimon. There's a story told over from Rabbi Kiva Eger. We all know Rabbi Kiva Eger was the Godel Hador, the Goin Hador. And he once came to the city of Nikolsburg for Shabbos. Nikolsburg was a very, very important and Choshevik Kehila. And the Rav of Nikolsburg at the time was also one of the very, very great Gedolim. His name was Reb Modche Benet. And you got at the back of every Gemara, you got a parish from Reb Modche Benet al Ashas. Also one of the famous Gedolim of his time. Rabbi Kiva Eger came to town, so of course Reb Modche Benet was mechabed Rabbi Kiva Eger to give a drosha, a shia, in the main Beis HaMedrash Shabbos afternoon. As you can imagine, the Beis HaMedrash was crammed full. You couldn't get another fellow in. All the Rabbonim of the town were there, with all the Talmidei Chachomim, and all the Chushim Yidin, everybody came to hear the Godel Hador give the shia. Rabbi Kiva Eger goes up onto the Bima, and he starts a shir. Hardly had he started the shir, it's 5 minutes into the shir, suddenly Reb Modche Benet asks a gasha. And although Rabbi Kiva Eger was the Godel Hador, it seemed Reb Modche Benet was able to stump Rabbi Kiva Eger, and he became speechless. He was unable to answer the question. He stood there deep in thought for a minute. He closed the Gemara. He went down from the bima. Shir was over. Reb Modche Benet had demolished his entire shir with one gewaltige kasha. Reb Modche Benet felt very, very bad about what had happened. That hadn't been his intention. He just wanted to ask a kasha. He had the kasha. He wanted to ask his kasha, thinking it was a good kasha, which it was a good kasha, expecting Rabbi Kiva Eger would give him a good answer. He hadn't wanted to embarrass him that way. Motzei Shabbos, Reb Modche Benet walked round to where Rabbi Kiva Eger was staying, and he came in and he said, I've come to apologize for what happened this afternoon in the shul. It was the last thing I wanted to do to embarrass you like that. So please, I'm asking for mechila. Said Rabbi Kiva Eger to him, I'll tell you the truth. Your kasha is nishkin kasha. It was a klotz kasha, as if to say, chas v'shalom nishkin klotz kasha. The kasha wasn't a kasha. As soon as you asked this question, I straight away, immediately, had on the tip of my tongue the answer to your question. However, I felt you'd put me into a big dilemma. I was worried, if I'm going to give you the answer, I was worried, what are people in the shul going to say? Oh, look, our Ruv, gefregt das an narische Schale, come on, do me a toive. I was worried, what are people going to say? So you put me on the spot and I didn't know what to do. So I decided there and then, it's better that it should look like you asked me a question which I can answer, rather than you making a fool of me, rather you should make a fool of me than I should make a fool of you. So that's why I stood there for a minute, deep in thought. I closed the Gemara. But really, your question is not a question. He said, I'm leaving here tomorrow day's time, but you living here, you've got to stay here. I couldn't afford that somehow should end up chas v'sholem a bizoyan to your covered. So here we see the godel hador Rabbi Akiva Eiger, how he was able to come along and just without batting an eyelid, thinking of his own covered, all the rabbon in front of all the rabbonim and all the tamachomim, he could make it look as if he didn't know the answer to the question, whereas in reality it was just the opposite. The Gemara tells us, the famous Gemara, Masechtas Yoma, that the first Beis HaMikdash we know was destroyed because of three major Averis, Gila Aroyas, Shefichas Domem, and Avodah Zorah. Says the Gemara, and the second Beis HaMikdash, our Golus, was because of Sinas Chinam. Says the Gemara as follows, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar d'Omer Travai, said Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar, Rishonim shenizgala avoinam kesas, is therefore they were redeemed. The first Beis HaMikdash, which the Avera was revealed Avera, therefore the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. The second Beis HaMikdash, achroinim shloinizgala avoinam, which the Avera wasn't revealed, so therefore loinizgala kitsom, the time of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash Shlishi hasn't been revealed. We know the second Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. They were told it will be rebuilt after 70 years. However, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for Sinas Chinam, says the Gemara, the date of the final Geula has not been revealed. Asks Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz, he doesn't understand. What does the Gemara say, the first Beis HaMikdash, which the Avera was revealed, therefore the Geula was revealed after 70 years, and the second Golus, which the Avera wasn't revealed, so therefore the Geula hasn't been revealed. The Gemara itself just said the reason for the second Chorban Beis HaMikdash was because of Sinas Chinam. So what does the Gemara carry on and say the second Beis HaMikdash wasn't revealed what they did wrong? The Gemara says Sinas Chinam. Zuk Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz, what Chazal mean to tell us is, when we say it wasn't revealed, that people do not truly, really understand the terrible damage which is done by Sinas Chinam. When it comes to Chorban Bayis Rishon, Gilui Aroyos, Avodah Zorah, Shvichas Domim, everybody understands the terrible Avera and the damage which is done by these Averas. But when it comes to Sinas Chinam, Loi Nisgale Avoinam, the Avera hasn't been revealed. People think, I shepherded somebody, I said something not nice, I did something not nice, yeah, taka, it wasn't right of me, it's not the end of the world, you know, nothing happened. Yeah, these things happen. They haven't fully understood, it hasn't been fully revealed how terrible and how great is the damage which is caused when there is Sinas Chinam. And we know, unfortunately, today from stories which we hear about abuse and so on, how great is the damage. It's something which cannot just be eradicated. The famous English saying, as we all know, like Bubba Mouse's, not Bubba Mouse, not a nice word, especially sitting here, it's just nonsense. As a famous English saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we know it's just the opposite. It's true, Taka, sticks and stones may break your bones, as Taka true, but Emet Hashem, with the course of time, it will heal and there will be hopefully no scars left. But words will never hurt me. Shloim HaMelech, the Chochem Mikaludom, says, HaMoves V'Hachayim B'Yad HaLoshoin, that a person with his tongue, he has the power of Moves and Chaim, and sometimes a person can say a nasty comment to somebody else and he will scar that person for years and decades until the end of their life. So this, says Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz, is what the Gemara means, that the Avera of Sinas Chinam is Loi Nisgale Ketzosam. It has not yet been revealed. We haven't fully appreciated and understood how great is the scarring and the damage which is caused by sinas chinam, needless hatred. There is a letter from the Chazon Ish where the Chazon Ish writes to somebody as follows. It says, I received your letter, and it's apparent to me from the way you write that chosel lecho hergesh shel hishtatfus betzar zilosho. You do not have that ability to be able to join in and feel the pain and the suffering of a fellow Jew. I can see you're cold, you remain aloof. Says the Chazon Ish, however, v'ho eitzer lezeh, there is an eitzer how a person can acquire this. A person goes out their way, try and help a fellow Yid, try and do something to alleviate the situation, get involved in some chesed project. And you will see, by being involved in chesed, trying to help a family in need, a family in distress, that will awaken and arouse the feelings in your heart. Just merely to hear about a tragedy and say, oh, it's so terrible, oh, I feel so bad for them, and then go home as if nothing happened, is not going to help at all. But a person does something, that's the way, says the Chazon Ish, is an eitzer, how to be ma'oira yourself to feel the pain and suffering of a fellow Jew. V'chein lehispalel al tsuras zilusoi. Similarly, to be mispalel on the suffering of a fellow Jew. And I can say here in Newhall Avenue, we have our own Tehillim, which is organized by one of our very chushava ladies from Newhall Avenue, is here tonight, who every Erev Shabbos sends out names of people, choylim, and people who need our tefillos, to daven for other people who we don't even know who they are. But people get used to thinking and davening about other people. Says the Chazon Ish, af she'ein hadvurim yotzim alev, even if when you daven, perhaps it's not always vurim yotzim alev, you're in a hurry, you're not in the mood, you don't know who these people are. Nevertheless, these words will be ma'oiru you in the course of time to know what it means to think about other people and to share in other people's suffering. So in order to get rid of sinis chinam, says the Chazon Ish, it's not merely good enough just to say, okay, I'm going to stop chepering, stop speaking Lashon Hara, stop doing not nice things. That's gewaldig. Halavai, we should all be zoicha to that. But you have to do the opposite. You have to go out your way to do actions, daven for other people, help other people, and that is the eitzer, how a person, instead of having sinas chinam, will have a havas chinam. The space of Migdash was destroyed because, as we said, because of the havas chinam. We need to ask ourselves, we need to ask ourselves, why was sinas chinam a reason in itself to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? The first Beis HaMikdash, we understand, if you have Avodah Zorah, you have Gili Aroyas, you have Shafichas Domim, we understand that's a total breakdown of Yiddishkeit. But when you have Sinas Chinam, so that means, and like the Gemara says, they were learning Torah, they were being Mekayim the Torah mitzvahs, there was just one problem, Sinas Chinam, everything else was fantastic. So if everything else was okay, and we just had sinas chinam, why should that be so terrible? I understand it's wrong, I understand many things are wrong, but that in itself should be a reason, therefore, that the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed. Why should that be so? So we find it's written that when Yosef HaTzadik came down, when the Shvutim came down to Mitzrayim and they were reunited with Yosef HaTzadik, it's written that when Yosef saw his brother Binyamin, Vayipol al Tzavurov Vayefk, he fell on his neck and he cried. And Rashi tells us, why did he fall on his neck? Tells us Rashi, he was crying on the two Butei Migdash which were in the Chel of Binyamin, which were going to be destroyed. That's what Rashi tells us. But the question we ask ourselves is, okay, but why did he fall on his neck? What connection does the neck have with the Beis HaMikdash? Yosef saw B'riach HaKodesh, that the Beit HaMikdash, which were in the portion of Binyamin, are going to be destroyed. He falls on his neck and he cries, why his neck? And if we look in Shir HaShirim, we will find other psikim where the Beis HaMikdash is compared to the neck. We have a pasuk, Kemigdal Dovid Tzavurech. Your neck is like the Migdal Dovid, like the Beis HaMikdash. Tzavurech Kemigdal Hashem. Why is the Beis HaMikdash compared to a person's neck? So the Sanzeruf said a Gevaldi Gevalt as follows. And he said, L'choyre, we need to understand, why did the Rabbeinu Shalom build the Beis HaMikdash on Har HaMoriah? Wouldn't it have been more appropriate to build the Beis HaMikdash on Har Sinai? That's the place where the whole Torah was given. What could be greater, more special than Har Sinai? So what quality did Har HaMoriah have more than Har Sinai? So said the Sanzeruf, we know Har HaMoriah, that's the place where the Akedah took place. By the Akedah, Yitzchok Avini stretched out his neck with Mesiris Nefesh, and Avraham Avinu was about to shecht him. So that's why the Beis HaMikdash was built on Har HaMoriah, because that's the place of the Akedah. Avraham Avinu had one child born to him in his old age after all those years, and now he's going to go and shecht him, have no more children. Yitzchok Avinu is about to offer himself up, allow himself to be killed, Akedah Hashem. This is the ultimate Mesiris Nefesh. What is the shoyrish, what's the root cause of sinas chinam? The root cause of sinas chinam is an inflated ego. When a person is a balgava, and anybody who treads on his kovod, anybody who does something which in some way he feels, you've invaded my territory, you've done something which somehow I don't like it. I don't hold of this. I don't agree with this. I have a different opinion. I. When a person has an inflated ego, then he feels justified that I can come and put you down because you are a nobody and I am a somebody. So therefore, I am entitled to put you down. So this is where sinas chinam comes from. Sinas chinam is that I'm important and nobody else is important. An inflated ego. The Beis HaMikdash, the yesod, the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash, was the Akedah. Avraham Avinu, Yitzchok Avinu, the ultimate sacrifice. Avraham Avinu didn't look, what's going to be with me? Yitzchok Avinu didn't look, what's going to be with me? They were willing to do the ultimate sacrifice if that's the Rabbeinu Shloilem wants. Me doesn't come into it. Therefore, sinas chinam, the root cause of sinas chinam, is the direct opposite of what the Beis HaMikdash stands for. And therefore, this eats away at the very foundations of the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, it's written this in one of the kinnos, in Kinnah Lamed. Chatuai ki otzmi achlosani kinna, that I was devoured by jealousy. Va'ora tso hayesod. And this caused the entire foundation of the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. The Mishnah says in Masechtas Ovos, Rebbe Luza Hamoidoi Oime, Hamachalas Akodshim, somebody who's Machalal Korbonos, Hamavazas Hamoyadois, somebody who mocks the Yomim Toivim, Vahamalbim Pnei Chaveir Berabim, and somebody who embarrasses a friend in public, Ein Loi Chelek LaOilam Habo. He has no portion in Oilam Habo. Asks the Tiferes Yisroel again. Bishloima, all well and good, the first two things. Somebody who is Mavazah the Karbonos, somebody who is Mevaza Yom Tovim, he shows that he doesn't hold of the Torah, he mocks the Torah. I understand. But somebody who's embarrassed his friend Barabim, why does he have no chelim? It's takan avera. Avada, it's an avera to embarrass somebody. But why should be embarrassing somebody else Barabim be so terrible again that he has no chelik in oilam habo and everything he's done is lost? Writes at first he saw as follows. We know the Mishnah also tells us, Choviv Odom Shenivro Betzelem. Every person has inside him a tzelem Elohim. And somebody who embarrasses somebody else, it shows that he does not believe that this person has a tzelem Elohim. And therefore, this type of person does not really believe in the Rabbeinu Shloilem either. It's no difference to if you're a machalal the Yomim Toivim, or if you're a machalal Karbonis, or you're a machalal a fellow Yid's covered. Because this fellow is a Yid like you're a Yid, and he's got Tzelem Elohim in him. So therefore the fact that you have embarrassed him, it's no difference being machalal another Yid's covered, or being machalal the Torah. It's the same thing. And we find this written in Megillas Rus. In Megillas Rus, we find a pusik. It says that when Boaz came to the field and he saw the koitzrim, he saw his workers working in the field, he said, Vayoimele koitzrim Hashem imochem. And he said Hashem's name, Yudke Vovke, like we say in Mekabrocha, Borchato Hashem. Asks the Gemara, you're not allowed to say Hashem's name for nothing. So why did Boaz greet these people, and he said, Hashem imochem, using Hashem's name? So answers the Malbim as follows. So it says the Gemara says that from here we see that Boaz was mesaken a takona, that you're allowed to use Hashem's name to greet another person. Ask the Malbim, why? Why did Boaz do this? Why did he make such a takona? So says the Malbim as follows. We know Chazal tell us in the Pusik Vahi Bimei Shvoit HaShoiftim, in the time of Rus, in the time of Boaz, it was a doy that Oy the doy Shoifet a Shoiftov. Everybody was judging everybody else. Everybody was critical of everybody else. Boaz had to sleep in his barn by night, although he was a wealthy man, tells Chazal, because he was worried because robbers would come and steal all his produce. It was a total breakdown of law and order. Boaz realized that people, unfortunately, they thought that Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi doesn't, it's not important. The ikkar to be Elech Yid, to shokel hard by davening, to be Machmit Alechimres, the way you speak to fellow Yid doesn't make a difference. You make a broch with Kavona, that's what's important. So Boaz came along and he made a takona, that there's no difference between a Sefer Torah, and a Yid is also a Leiber Dicker Sefer Torah. So just like you make a brucha when you make a brucha on the Torah, when you make a brucha when you hear the shofar, when you shake lulav, you see a fellow Yid, I can make a brucha on a fellow Yid. Vayoymele koitzrim Hashem imochem. He's a Yid, I can make a brucha on him. Hashem imochem, using Hashem's name. Boaz wanted everyone should appreciate and understand that Torah is bein odom la'mokoyim, and just as much bein odom la'chaveiroi. The Torah tells us by the mitzvah v'ahavta l'reicha kamoicha, v'ahavta l'reicha kamoicha, ani Hashem. And then Mefarshim all ask, why in this pusik does the pusik say ani Hashem? How's it come in? V'ahavta l'reicha kamoicha, ani Hashem. So the Rishna, the Rebbe of Rishon, answered with a beautiful moshul, and he said as follows. He said there was once a fellow who was accused of a crime. I don't know, he'd done some serious crime, was accused of a crime. He was put on trial, he was found guilty, and he was sentenced to death to be hanged in the public square in front of the king's palace. It came the day when he was about to be hanged, and everybody had assembled, a large crowd, and he's being led up to the gallows. He's about to be executed, when suddenly there's a voice in the crowd, and somebody shouts out, this man is innocent, he didn't do it. It was me, I did the crime, I was the one who did it. As soon as they heard that, somebody else is only, and this fellow had always said it wasn't him, he denied it. As soon as the other fellows owned up and said it was me, straight away, the judges, the officers, went running over to him. I said, okay, no problem. They took him to the gallows, we're going to hang you instead. So they're leading the second man up to the gallows. They're about to hang him. And the first man says, he's lying. It wasn't him. It was me. I was actually the one who did it. And the second man said, no, he's lying, it was me. They were totally taken aback. They'd never had such a story before. Each one saying, it was me, I deserve to be killed. They said, this is something which only the king, he'll have to rule on this. So the two men were brought in front of the king. The king said, this is a most extraordinary story. I've never heard of any such thing. Can you explain to me what's going on here? So the first man said, listen, Adoni HaMelech, I didn't commit this crime. I didn't commit this crime. On the other hand, my friend also didn't commit this crime. But I was happy. I should rather be killed than let my friend be killed. I can't stay alive having watched my friend being hanged and come home the next day, the same day, and carry on life as if nothing happened. I would rather let myself be killed, although I'm innocent, than let my good friend be killed. The king turned to the second man and said, what do you say? And he said the exact same thing. I'm innocent, I didn't do it. But I would rather be killed than let my good friend over here be killed. I can't let my good friend see my good friend be killed. So I'd rather be killed. When the king heard that, he said, I want to tell you both something. I'm surrounded by many ministers and many advisors, and each one of them tells me the same thing. They've only got my best interests in heart. They're so loyal to me, and they're so protective of me. But I know fully, fully well that deep down, none of them care tuppence about me. They're all in it for themselves. They're all in it just to line their own pockets. And the truth is, I can't trust, as we know by politicians, I can't trust a single one of them. They can speak and preach from today till tomorrow, but I know they do not mean me. They're only in it to try and advance their own interests. I've never come across before two people like yourselves, so selfless, so willing to give up, then just not only give up everything, give up their lives for their own fellow friends. You are the type of people who I want to be surrounded with. I'm going to make you both my closest ministers in my government, because this is the type of people I want to be surrounded with. Said the Rishna, this is what the Torah is telling us. V'ohavto l'reyecho kamoicho ani Hashem. When the Rabbeinu Shlalem sees that a Yid is not only he's helping his fellow Yid, but kamoicha, he loves him like himself, says the Rabbeinu Shlalem, ani Hashem, please allow me in. I want to be part and parcel of your group. I want to belong to your group. Ani Hashem, says the Rabbeinu Shlalem, I want to belong. But if chas v'shulam, the sin is chinam. So when the Rabbeinu Shlalem comes along and he sees lots of Yidden gathered together, but this one doesn't speak to that one, and that one doesn't get on with this one, and this one pokes fun at that one, says the Rabbeinu Shlalem, I don't want to belong to your group. Leave me out of it. I'm going elsewhere. I don't feel comfortable here. So if we want to be zoicha to the binyan beis hamikdash, so when v'ahavta l'reicha kamoicha, when there's a harvest Yisrael, says the Rabbeinu Shlalem, then ani Hashem, I will feel part of it. I'll be comfortable. But if chas v'shom the sin is chinam, says the Rabbeinu Shlalem, count me out of it. I heard many years ago when Reb Moshe Aaron Stern, Zachon Levrucha, the Kamitzer Mashkiach, said over a most amazing story from Reb Moshe Feinstein. And he said he heard this over from the person who was there in the room at the time. So he heard it firsthand from somebody who witnessed it. Reb Moshe was a Rosh Yeshiva. He had a yeshiva called Teferes Yishalayim in New York. That was his yeshiva. He was Rosh Yeshiva. And Reb Moshe was sitting there one day in the office of the yeshiva when there was a knock on the door. And in walked a young chosen and kala, walked in to Reb Moshe. They walked in through the door, and no sooner did they walk in than they both of them suddenly burst into tears. And they were sobbing away. And Reb Moshe was a very, very soft person, became very upset and very agitated. And he begged them, please stop crying, calm down, tell me what happened. And eventually, after time, the young girl calmed down. And she told Reb Moshe as follows, we're a chosen and kala, we're engaged. We were hoping to get married in Yitz Hashem soon, whenever it is. And recently, the chosen had become ill. It hadn't been feeling well, and he'd gone to a doctor. The doctor had examined him And unfortunately, the doctor diagnosed him that he was seriously ill with Yena Machla. And they just found this out, and they haven't told anybody. They just heard this the previous day. So they decided to come to Reb Moshe, and they've asked Reb Moshe, what should they do? The Chosen said, if Reb Moshe will paskin that he's got to break off the engagement, he's ill. Why should the Kala marry this girl? He's willing to do that. The Kala said, if Reb Moshe is going to paskin that she's got to go ahead and marry him, although he's ill, and who knows what's going to be, that's what she'll do. Reb Moshe should tell them, what should they do? Reb Moshe became very, very agitated. He got up from his chair and he started pacing up and down in the room for a few minutes. After a few minutes, he suddenly turns to them and he says, don't tell anybody you've come to me. Mirat Hashem, you'll get married, but I missed that bit. Moshe said to them as follows. I have already asked, this is what Moshe Einstein said, he heard it from the Yid who was there in the room, the secretary of the yeshiva who was there in the room. He was the one other person in the room. Moshe turned to them and he said, I have already asked the Rebbe Nishloilam 38 times in my lifetime to perform a nes. I'm going to ask him another time, and it will be 39 times. Said Reb Moshe, don't tell anybody you came to me. Don't tell anybody you were by the doctor. Don't go back to the doctor and totally ignore what he said and get married in Mirat Hashem b'shul toiva mitzlachas. And this is what they did. And this Yid who was in the room told this Reb Moshe Einstein that he knows who this couple is, and today, Baruch Hashem, they're not only parents but the grandparents. And this was the story which Reb Moshe Einstein related. Now, when I heard this story, it sparked a question in my mind. And the question what occurred to me was, it's a most amazing story, but I am sure that Reb Moshe was asked every single day of his life to be mespalel for desperately sick people. He was asked every single day of his life to be mespalel for people with yena machla, whether it should be young children, young husbands, young wives. He was asked every day, and yet he didn't say this to them. What made Reb Moshe suddenly come along to say dafka to this couple, I am willing to intercede on your behalf and ask the Rebbein Shloilem to perform for you a nes, which he didn't do for everybody else, as we know. As we can see, this is only the 39th time. Then what the other 38 were. And it occurred to me as follows, that, as we just said, v'ahavta l'recha kamoicha ani Hashem, if a person says that I am willing to be moiser nefesh for another yid, says the boy from ani Hashem, I want to be part of your group, of your friendship. When this Chosen could come along and say to Reb Moshe that if he's going to paskin that he's got to drop the shidduch because it's not fair on the Kala, why should she marry an ill boy? He'll be makabel. And when this girl said to Reb Moshe, if he's going to paskin that she has to get married to him, although he's an ill boy and who knows what's going to be, she's makabel. When Reb Moshe saw how this Chosen Kala, be makayim, mita'emes, v'ahavta l'recha kamoicha, with such mysterious nefesh and such selflessness, then Reb Moshe knew, ani Hashem, the Rebbei Shalom will be part of that. If the Rebbei Shalom will be part of that, so oy bezoy, that's not no problem at all. So therefore he felt he could intercede and ask the Rebbei Shalom, Rebbei Shalom, you're part of this, so please help them. And this is what happened. So this is our avoider in the 9 days. Our avoid in the 9 days is to eradicate sinas chinam, not merely good enough, not just to speak lashon hara, not to do a cheper, not to be nasty, not to behave in a nasty way, but rather we mustn't remain indifferent. If we see somebody doing something wrong, saying something wrong, don't just keep quiet, because that's what Kamsa did. Kamsa remained indifferent. Rather, we should say something. That's not the way to speak. That's not the way to act. It's not correct. And one has to be marbe in a havas chinam. And through that, emir tzashem, we should all be zoicha bekurev to see the binyan beis hamikdash b'mehirav yomeini. Amen.